So we're anyway, the senator is going to have to leave at 6:55, but hopefully we will be able to connect with him. We've been having some weird phone issues lately. I don't quite know why that's the case, but it does happen every once in a while. So we'll make the best of it as we can. There's a very interesting study that I wanted to talk about with him, and I wanted to let you know about that. Teen summer jobs are way down. And I think there's a lot of reasons why this is the case. But between April and July of 2025, that's last year, the number of working 16 to 19-year-olds, the smallest increase, like over that time is when they go from being in school to being in jobs, by 800,000. The smallest jump in employment since 1948 when we started keeping these records. So lots of reasons why. App ordering has cut into traditional, clerk-type take-the-order roles. Self-checkout has taken a bite out of, grocery store or retail kind of roles. Automation. AI is replacing a lot of these jobs. And soft skills that employers used to be able to expect and certainly demand, like communication, workplace etiquette, professionalism, all of that kind of stuff, where teens struggle with this stuff, have made teens simultaneously less employable and also less willing because they kind of sense that their skills maybe don't quite match and all this. So the teens are saying also, and this used to be the perception was that teens were out there, there's all kinds of jobs. Well, if you've talked to a teenager or even a graduate lately, it's so common for there to be jobs and no responses. I remember when my son was looking for his first engineering job out of college about a year and a half ago, I mean, it was like nothing. It's like you throw 100 resumes out there and you get no answers whatsoever. So, parents are actually, everybody is noticing this problem. So there's a sort of a constellation of issues around this. And the amusement parks, resorts, hotels are hiring 70% fewer workers this year over last year, even over prior years. The projection is now 790,000 workers, which is, again, the lowest since 1940. So it's going down, the number of workers that we're having. Anyway, big problem for the economy, big problem, obviously, for teenagers who are trying to figure out work, and certainly the kind of thing that we want to be focused on and thinking about, well, how do we solve that? And is it enough to just, I don't know, say AI is to blame? Well, no, because, we need to be solving the problem. 844 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Mentioned a moment ago that it is today the 84th anniversary of the beginning of the Battle of Midway. Massive in battle that was important in the war and also very important to us here as the training ground for our naval aviators, so much of whom came, through here from the beginning. What else do we have going on? I don't know. John is over here talking with the... Are you talking to the senator or to his people? What's going on?
We're waiting for him to be looped in.
Oh, they're connecting him. Is that because, they make the call and he gets connected to them?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well. Okay. All right. Well, it may not happen. Every once in a while, things just... it's live radio. Things don't work out. Senator Scott, are you there, sir?
I've been listening to your conversation about teen employment.
Yeah. So I know this is one of the things that we wanted to, by the way, welcome back to the show. Great to have you. This is one of the things that we had wanted to talk about with you is unemployment numbers and the economic landscape with teen employment particularly. And you've been talking about this a lot lately.
Anybody want to say no?
Good morning, 848 News Radio 92.3. Let's give it another whirl. We've got Senator Rick Scott on the line with us again. Senator, you and I were just talking a moment ago about the economic prospects, jobs, especially for teenagers, sir. And then we got disconnected. Sorry.
Well, it's interesting. I remember when I was a teenager, you'd love these jobs. 85 cents an hour as a fry cook. I got paid a penny to deliver newspapers. I cut grass from 50 cents a yard to $3.50. So that I started working when I was 7, and so before I was 14, you couldn't get a job at even a restaurant and stuff like that. So it's always hard for teens to get jobs. But I think a lot of people have acted like, oh, you're not supposed to work. I tell everybody you should go work because,
amen.
And there's always a job out there. Go to your neighbors, walk to your neighbors, and say, what can I do? You'd be surprised at all the job opportunities people would Just find out what somebody needs. I got a 12-year-old grandson that's teaching soccer this summer. So he's a real good soccer player and he loves it. So we got to be creative.
I think there's a, you hit on something too. There's kind of a culture of expectation. I know when you and I were kids, it's a, you know, the expectation was you're going to go do something with your summer, and, you know, to not do it is sort of deviating. Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes it's a cultural expectation that we need to put out there. As you well know, Florida has now passed the property tax referendum that would basically eliminate a vast majority of people's homesteaded property taxes if the voters pass it in the fall and then over the course of the next 2 years. What do you think about that? You were the governor before. You're very connected to all of the various tax issues and how we raise our revenue. What do you think about this move for Floridians?
Well, I cut taxes, please, 100 times, so I like tax cuts. I think it's great. We've got to figure out how to reduce the cost of government. What I did when I was governor is as property values went up, I cut the millage rate, so we didn't have a significant increase in property taxes when I was governor. So, look, I'm like everybody. We'd love to get rid of our property taxes. I want to understand the economics of it. Is it going to impact paying for our sheriff departments, our police departments, our schools, our transportation, all these things? So I want to understand the economics of it. But gosh, who doesn't want their taxes to go down? I do. I kind of. But what I did, the way I did it was I did it year in, year out instead of letting it get out of control.
Yeah, if you do it gradually enough, like, you know, I mean, this is one of my objections to this thing is, as somebody who hates property taxes, is it's pretty drastic. Maybe a step down would be a little bit better way to handle all of this. You had a very interesting conversation in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Tuesday with a former senator and, of course, your colleague at the time, but now Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I loved that you asked the status update questions on both Cuba and Venezuela. Venezuela seems to have turned a corner for sure, which is massive for them and for us. What is going to happen in Cuba, and is there any real prospect of separating the Cuban military ruling junta, essentially, from the money in order to get it so that we have... Oh, did we lose him again? You know, one of the things about doing live radio is that just every once in a while, things go nutty on you. So I'm so sorry you guys are having to listen to this. Back to Senator Scott. I think we have him back on the line. I'm so sorry, Senator. But I love what Marco Rubio gave you as a status update on Cuba, separating the military and their wealth from the country,
right,
from the power.
I got the Senator on.
Yeah, thank you so much. So what is the future of Cuba? I mean, what do we really have to do, and what would happen to turn it into a modern country? Because the situation now is not good, but we're sort of leveraging, pressuring them.
Well, they're 90 miles from our coast, so this is important to our safety. China's there. Russia's there. Iran's there. Hezbollah's there. China's got a spy station. So, I mean, this is a big deal. So what we got to do is we got to hold Raul Castro accountable. I'm glad the Trump administration finally indicted him. I've been asking for that for years. They've increased the sanctions. So here's what I think is going to happen. Either Raul Castro and family are going to leave the island, or he's going to get the same treatment as Maduro. He'll be in prison the rest of his life. So I think that's going to happen. I think that will put the island, the people of the island, in a position that they can rise up and take over their government and create a democracy that they want. So I'm very hopeful. But, you know, this is you can't just do one thing. You got to never let up. And the problem we had is we have, unfortunately, like people like Obama and Biden who appease. I mean, Obama went down there and played baseball with Raul Castro. So you can't appease people like this. So I'm glad what Trump and Marco Rubio are doing. And we just have to do it day in, day out. Same with Venezuela. I'm glad Maduro is gone. But Delcy Rodriguez hasn't released all the political prisoners. There's still oppression. So we still have our work cut out for us.
Yeah, definitely. Progress has been made, but a lot of progress is yet to go. Last thing for you, I know you need to go to another event, but with Iran and the vote in the House to enact war powers limits on the president's ability to use force, will that pass the Senate? Will there be Republicans who vote for it? I just want the process to play out. I know he's going to veto it, but will it pass?
Yeah, Trump's going to veto. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff about the Civil War, and, you know, the opposition in the Civil War in the North was always attacking Lincoln and attacking, saying, "Oh, we're doing the wrong thing," and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't get these people. I mean, Trump is trying to save people's lives. He doesn't want us destroyed by nuclear weapons, and these people want to sit here and say, "Oh, you're doing the wrong thing." It's like, you want to be killed by a nuclear weapon? I don't. I mean, this appeasement of Biden and Obama didn't work. I mean, they're building a nuclear weapon to destroy us. They want to kill us. Oh, by the way, they have been killing us. So thank God we have a president that says, enough's enough. I'm tired of Americans being killed, and he's going to stand up.
Yeah, 47 years they've been at war with us. We finally decided to play back. I just think that it's important to involve Congress in the process as well. That's why I want the resolution. I want him to be able to do it, but I also believe in the process. Senator Rick Scott, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for putting up with our technical difficulties. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, sir, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, Andrew. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Yeah.